It's December the 28th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. You know, I've been doing that little statement all year long, but in the beginning it was Genesis and Revelation was a long way away. But think how far we've come. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. No, I'm not going to read them all, but you know, the rest of the Old Testament and all the way through the Gospels and the book of Acts and the epistles of Paul and the general epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter. Finally, we got to 1st and 2nd, 3rd John and Jude. And now here we are, end of the year. We started in Genesis. We are making our way through the book of Revelation. In fact, after today, only 3 more days until we've come to the end of the reading of the Word of God for this year. So thank you so much. And let me begin by just saying, I hope you'll tell us where you are. I see some people have checked in already. I've got a little online way of seeing the early arrivers, Kathy and Ann and Leah and Dale. Hello to all of you. These are the folks, these are the states that were represented in actual comments. Not counting, you know, there are other ways to find things out on the internet. You can look at IP addresses. We don't worry about that. It's just if you told us where you're from. We had folks watching yesterday from Alabama, California, New Jersey, New York, Arkansas, Delaware, Texas, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Iowa, New Mexico, Louisiana, Mississippi, Indiana, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia. Get this, somebody from the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. That's over there. It's right next to Saudi Arabia in the Middle East. Dubai, in fact, is where they were from. That's a long way from here in Shawnee, Kansas. Linda said hello to us from Australia, and then somebody from Kenya and somebody from India. So the internet is just amazing. And if you would take a moment to tell us where you are watching from, what state or what country, it's just a great encouragement. So we're coming to the end of our second reading through of the Word of God. And God willing, on January the 1st, just a few days away, we're going to go back and launch out again into the book of Genesis. And, you know, I did Genesis one way the first year, and then last year I did some new videos for the book of Genesis and Exodus and so on to make things a little bit more, make things just flow. I think we're still going to be using the Genesis and Exodus videos that I did new last year, but there are a few times this year we're going to have some brand new Bible reading videos. You'll just have to stick around, and I'll let you know when those are coming up. I'm just excited. We've had folks who said, I joined you for the first time in 2023, went through it again the second time in 2024, and I'm looking forward to going through it a third time. Karen says, I love reading. Let's read the Bible each day. Thank you so much. I can't wait to start over again in January. Margaret says, God bless you. Still reading through the Bible with you every day. I love your videos. Lisa says, here for the second year's live reading and looking forward to the third live reading next year. Love you both. Thank you for all your readings. Vicky says, watching your replay. This was from yesterday. Watching your replay from Greenwood, Arkansas. I've been watching, listening all of 2024, began in the last half of 2023. Thank you for taking your time to share the word with so many. Hey, it's not my time, really. It's just, we're doing this for the Lord. You know, I said that this was a legacy ministry, and it's sort of become like, we did it for our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids so that long after Marlene and I are gone to heaven, our descendants, however generations there may be until Jesus comes again, I think it's closer than anybody knows, but however long it is, they would know that we believe the Word of God, we loved it, and we read it out loud to establish a tradition of faithfulness to the Word of God. But the whole thing's kind of grown like Topsy. I should tell you this, yesterday, yesterday, I got some, our son Josh, oversees this whole project, Let's Read the Bible, from the technical side, and there's a ton of technical stuff. And he gave me some numbers for 2024. Honestly, I hadn't seen them. I assumed that once once we had gone all the way through the Bible, we had all these thousands of people with us in 2023. I assumed the graph would go up in 2023 and would begin to slowly go down. But that's not what happened. The graph of the total number of visits and views and page views and all that, it went up in 2023, and then it went up again in 2024, substantially more, 120,000 more page visitors to our website this year than last year, probably a total, Josh says, of around 2 million people who came to our website sometime this year. That's just, to me, that's just mind-blowing. And I think it says something about the hunger of people for the Word of God. So thank you for being part of this great project. Now, we're in the book of Revelation, just a couple of things written in the year 95. It's just interesting to me. According to tradition, and I think it's true, that all of the original apostles had died. All of them, horrible, difficult deaths, died for the cause of Christ. You know, tradition, and I think it's accurate, says that Peter, the great apostle, was crucified like his Lord and Savior, but upside down. That's a great story to think about. And it said the same thing for Thomas and Bartholomew and James and John, all of them. The only living apostle left at the end of the first century was this old man, young man when he walked with Jesus, old man at the end of the first century, the apostle John. He was on a prison island. He was under guard. He was in prison on Patmos in the cave there. That's where the Lord came and said, "Son, I got a message for you," and gave him these visions. He wrote it down. That's what became the book of Revelation. One thing I haven't said, which I do want to say, is this book was written to encourage first century believers who were suffering enormous persecution across the Roman Empire. As the church grew and grew with its message of purity and faith in Jesus Christ, many people believed, but many of those who didn't believe became violent in their opposition to the Christian movement. And some of the emperors, Nero being one good example, but others, tremendous persecution broke out against the Christian church. And so Revelation was given to encourage the suffering believers in two things. Number one, that Jesus is Lord, that he has all of human history in his hands, and to encourage them to hold on because Jesus is coming back. And when he does, the empire of Rome, as with all human empires, will fall to the ground. So to encourage the early Christians, thus to encourage us also, to reveal the glory and majesty of Jesus, to assure us that God has everything under control, that even in the worst moments of life, we can trust that God's plan is being worked out, and to say, hold on to your faith, hold on to your confession. Don't turn away from Jesus because the King is coming. And remember the promise, Revelation 1:3, blessed are those who read, who hear, and who do the things written in this book. The only book of the Bible has a specific promise attached to it. And I think the only other thing, I do want to remind you that we do have a video series called The End of the Beginning, that 23 hours of Bible teaching, verse by verse by verse, all the way through the book of Revelation. You can go to keepbelieving.com to the video section. Just scroll on down to Revelation, and all those videos are there free for the watching, 24/7, 365. I'm going to let you in on something. This first time we've mentioned this. Well, we've got a brand new version of the Revelation teaching series coming out very soon. It's not up there yet, but I think early in January it's going to be up there. It's the same teaching I gave in 2021 with brand new graphics, a whole lot of brand new graphics to help you understand what I'm teaching, help you understand the book of Revelation. And there's going to be a way in which you can, we're going to have captions on that you can go to. One is for Mandarin in two different versions of Mandarin. The other is going to be in Spanish. So you can hear my voice in English, but if you, Chinese speakers, Mandarin speakers can follow along. Spanish speakers can follow along. The captions at the bottom. We're really excited about this. Plus, brand new We've never had a study guide, got a brand new study guide coming out. All that's free. You can be able to download it. Just hold that in your mind. That's coming sometime. It's being wrapped up right now, but sometime soon in the book, in the month of January. You know the outline of the book. Write the things you've seen. That's chapter one. The things that are, chapters 2 and 3. The things that are to come, that's chapters 4 through 22, which means that the great majority of Revelation is yet in the future to us. Note the number 7, 7 angels, 7 trumpets, 7 churches, 7 bowls, 7 seals, and we'll see in the reading today, 7 thunders. Number 7, the number of divine completion, very important in this book. Okay, we're going to read today chapters 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Chapter 9, the 5th and 6th trumpets. Chapter 10, John eats the little scroll. Chapter 11, the 2 witnesses. Chapter 12, the woman, the child, the dragon. Chapter 13, the rise of the Antichrist and the mark of the beast, 666. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We're excited. We're glad. Here in these closing days of the year, we can come to your word and it speaks to us so clearly. So open the eyes of our heart. Give us encouragement, Lord, by the things that are written, to know that all things are in your hands. And this whole world is not coming apart. It's just coming together as you plan. Increase our faith as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 9. The 5th angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to earth. The key for the shaft of the abyss was given to him. He opened the shaft of the abyss, and smoke came up out of the shaft like smoke from a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened by smoke from the shaft. Then locusts came out of the smoke onto the earth, and power was given to them like the power that scorpions have on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have God's seal on their foreheads. They were not permitted to kill them, but were to torment them for 5 months. Their torment is like the torment caused by a scorpion when it stings someone. In those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. Something like golden crowns was on their heads. Their faces were like human faces. They had hair like women's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had chests like iron breastplates. The sound of their wings were like the sound of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. And they had tails with stingers like scorpions, so that with their tails they had the power to harm people for 5 months. They had as their king, the king of the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he has the name Apollyon. The first woe has passed. There are still 2 more woes to come after this. The 6th angel blew his trumpet. From the 4 horns of the golden altar that is before God, I heard a voice say to the 6th angel who had the trumpet, "Release the 4 angels bound at the great river Euphrates." So the 4 angels who were prepared for the hour, the day, month, and year, they were released to kill 1/3 of the human race. The number of mounted troops was 200 million. I heard that number. This is how I saw the horses and their riders in the vision. They had breastplates that were fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. The heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and from their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. 1/3 of the human race was killed by these 3 plagues, by the fire, the smoke, and the sulfur that came from their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouth and in their tails, because their tails, which resemble snakes, have heads that inflict injury. The rest of the people who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands to stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, which cannot see, hear, or walk. And they did not repent of their murders, their sorceries, their sexual immoralities, or their thefts. The end of chapter 9, and all I will say, I mean, we could talk about these strange creatures and what all that means, but just the shocking thing is, God sends this, and still, the heart of man is so hardened. They love their idols. They love their sorcery, pharmakia. I think it's the idea of sorcery and witchcraft plus drug abuse, drugs that alter the mind, drugs that destroy. They love their idols and they love their gold and silver and they love their drugs and they love their immorality. They would not repent. Chapter 10. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun. His legs were like pillars of fire. And he held a little scroll opened in his hand. He put his right foot on the sea, his left on the land. And he called out with a loud voice like a roaring lion. When he cried out, the seven thunders raised their voices. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunder said, and do not write it down. Then the angel that I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. He swore by the one who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it, there will no longer be a delay. But in the days when the seventh angel will blow his trumpet, then the mystery of God will be completed, as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take and eat it. It will be bitter to your stomach, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I ate it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. What was in that little scroll? I think it must be the coming judgments at the end of the tribulation period. You see these seals and then the trumpets and the bowls, they're going to increase in frequency and intensity as we move through that 7-year tribulation period. And this is about the final end times things that are going to happen. And the eating of it, it was sweet to his mouth because it's the word of God. And the word of God ought always to be sweet, but it was bitter to his stomach when he realized that what God was saying is, terrible judgment is going to come upon the earth. Revelation 11. Then I was given a measuring reed like a rod with these words, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count those who worship there, but exclude the courtyard outside the temple. Don't measure it because it is given to the nations and they will trample the holy city. That's Jerusalem for 42 months. That's the last half, 3.5 years, last half of the tribulation period. I will grant my two witnesses authority to prophesy for 1260 days dressed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone wants to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and consumes their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. They have authority to close up the sky so that it does not rain during the days of their prophecy. They also have the power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague whenever they want. When they finish their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them, conquer them, and kill them. Their dead bodies will lie in the main street of the great city, which figuratively is called Sodom and Edom, where also their Lord was crucified. And some of the peoples, tribes, languages, and nations will view their bodies for 3.5 days and not permit their bodies to be put in a tomb. Those who live on the earth will gloat over them and celebrate and send gifts to one another because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. But after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them and they stood on their feet. Great fear fell on those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. They went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies watched them. At that moment, a violent earthquake took place. A tenth of the city fell, and 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. The survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe has passed. Take note, the third woe is coming soon. The seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. The 24 elders who were seated before God on their thrones fell face down and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, Lord God the Almighty, who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, but your wrath has come. The time has come for the dead to be judged, and to give the reward to your servants, the prophets, to the saints, and to those who fear your name, both small and great. For the time has come to destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God in heaven was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant appeared in his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumbles and peals of thunder, an earthquake, and severe hail. When this happens, I believe we are at the very end of the seven-year tribulation period. Who are these two witnesses? Well, they are not directly identified, but a lot of Bible teachers say, and I tend to agree with this, probably Moses and Elijah. They had the power to make it rain and to withhold rain. Sounds like Elijah had the power to say the word and command the sea to turn into blood, water to turn into blood, rivers to turn into blood. That sounds like Moses, doesn't it? So, best guess, it's Moses and Elijah, or people, two men who have come from the Lord in the spirit and in the power of Moses and Elijah to bear testimony to the people of the earth. Now, chapter 12, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in labor and agony. She was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven. There was a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its head were 7 crowns. Its tail swept away a third of the stars in heaven and hurled them to the earth. And the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she did give birth, it might devour her child. She gave birth to a son, a male who is going to rule over all nations with an iron rod. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God to be nourished there for 1260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels also fought, but he could not prevail, and there was no place for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Salvation, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has now come, because the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been thrown down. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the point of death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you with great fury, because he knows his time is short." When the dragon saw that he'd been thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who'd given birth to the male child. The woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle so that she could fly from the serpent's presence to her place in the wilderness, where she was nourished for a time, times and half a time. From his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river flowing after the woman to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon had spewed from his mouth. So the dragon was furious with the woman, went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commands of God and hold firmly to the testimony about Jesus. The dragon stood on the sand of the sea. Who's the woman? The woman represents the whole nation of Israel. Who's the male child born who will rule with a rod of iron? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the dragon? He's the dragon who stood in front of the woman while she was about to give birth and tried to put that baby boy to death. Can you remember anybody? Can you remember old Herod, who ordered all the male babies of Bethlehem under the age of 2 to be put to death? Satan hates the Lord Jesus, tried to kill him when he was born, tried to tempt him. In the wilderness, came to him again in the Garden of Gethsemane, did all that he could to stop the Lord Jesus Christ. But and it says here in chapter 12 that when he's thrown down to the earth, which I believe happens about the middle of the tribulation period, look out, O earth, look out, because the devil is coming. He's come to the earth, and he is angry because he knows his time is short. Last chapter for today. Revelation 13, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads. On its horns were 10 crowns, and on its heads were blasphemous names. The beast I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. The dragon gave the beast his power, his throne, and great authority. One of its heads appeared to be fatally wounded, but its fatal wound was healed. The whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. They worshiped the dragon because he gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war against it?" The beast was given a mouth to utter boast and blasphemies. It was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It began to speak blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his dwelling, those who dwell in heaven. And it was permitted to wage war against the saints and to conquer them. It was also given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All who live on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name was not written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slaughtered. If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen. If anyone is to be taken captive into captivity, he goes. If anyone is to be killed with a sword he will be killed. This calls for endurance and faithfulness from the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and compels the earth and all who live on it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. It also performs great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven in front of people. It deceives those who live on the earth because of the signs that it is permitted to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who live on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. It was permitted to give life to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast could both speak and cause whoever would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And it makes everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead so that no one can buy and sell unless he has the mark, the beast's name, or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, because it is the number of a person, literally the number of a man. Its number is 666. There are 2 beasts in Revelation 13. The first beast is the one who conquers the world. That's the coming Antichrist, the final end times world dictator. He's the first beast. Everyone who doesn't receive the mark on the hand or the forehead is going to be put to death, tracked down, shot, killed, made into martyrs. Who's the second beast? Well, he's often called the false prophet because he, you know what he's like? If the first beast is like the Antichrist, the second beast, this false prophet, he's, remember, he has horns like a lamb. In other words, he sounds like a man of peace, and he sounds like a friendly religious guy. He's going to be, I think he's going to be like an ecumenical religious leader who's going to say, it doesn't matter what religion you are. It could be Islam, could be Christian, could be Hindu, could be Confucius, could be animism, could be paganism, could be secularism, could be some form of some strange humanistic, could be spiritualism, whatever it is. We're all going to come together, worship. And the man we're going to worship is going to be the Antichrist. This second man is going to be like the PR agent for the first man. So the Antichrist is going to come to power. Evidently, somebody's going to try to kill him. He's going to have some fatal wound, but he's not. It's not, to me, as I read the text, interesting. Does he really die or does he only appear to die? I'll let you decide that as you read it. But this second beast comes along and erects some kind of image, and life is given to the image. And whoever will not worship the image shall be put to death. Wow, there's a lot of stuff going on here. What should we expect as we hurtle headlong into the last days? Number one, let me give 4 things. What we should expect. We should expect a rapid movement toward one world government, one world religion, and one world economy. One world government, one world religion, one world economy. Oftentimes, when I have taught on Bible prophecy around the country, I've held up my iPhone, and I've held up a credit card and I've said, you know, whoever controls this, controls my iPhone and my credit card, controls me. Well, we're living in the day, if you know, everything. We're already at a cashless society, virtually. We all, you know, last night we had Knox and Violet and Noah with us, and we went out to Popeyes and ordered Popeyes for supper last night. I placed the order on the app, right? I clicked the side of the iPhone. I paid it using my credit card, which is already in the system. I just walked in there, got my food, took it back, and we ate it. No money, actually, no physical money changed hands. That's the world in which we're living. Oh, my friends, artificial intelligence, I'm sure, is going to have something to do with how this second beast erects an image and apparently makes it come to life in some way. We don't really, still don't know exactly how that's going to happen. One world government, one world religion, one world economy. Oh, my friends, we're knocking at the door right there. Number two, understand, in the last days, rising hostility, rising hatred. The devil is angry. You should expect things are going to be tough. It's going to be harder to be a Christian in the days to come. Number three, these are the perilous times. 2 Timothy 3 talks about. Therefore, number four, in the last days, there will be no middle ground. No middle ground. We got too many so-called Christians sitting on the fence today. A little bit in the world, a little bit in the church, a little bit for God, a little bit for the devil, a little bit for the pagans, a little bit for the Lord's people. A little bit out here, worldly, a little bit over here, Christian on Sunday. Let me tell you, that might have worked for a while. It's not going to work anymore. You got to get off the fence because the devil owns that fence. In the end, you're going to be on Satan's team or you're going to be on Team Jesus. There's going to be no middle ground. So yesterday, I tried to quote one of the greatest hymns, or quoted one of the greatest hymns, maybe my favorite, crown hymn with many crowns. Well, here's one. The young people won't know this, but he was one of the earliest of the contemporary, maybe the father of contemporary Christian music. You know the name Larry Norman? He wrote a song that when I was just a kid, a young kid, my late teens and early 20s, was very popular. Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. Christ has come, and you've been left behind. Don't be left behind, my friends. Don't be left behind. Pastor Ray, should we be scared? No. No reason to be scared. God's got the whole thing. I mean, this is God revealing what's going to happen. He's got it all right in his hands. Christians ought to be the calmest people on earth because we know the Lord. He holds the future in his hands. Shouldn't be scared, but we should be alert. There's the spirit of Antichrist is already let loose in the world. It's only going to get worse. Pray for yourself and pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your kids. Pray for your grandkids. They will be out and out for Jesus Christ in the perilous days in which we are living. Be alert. Be bold. Be filled with joy. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. You saw that from Revelation 11 about the two witnesses. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Got to go, friends. Come back tomorrow. We're going to read Revelation 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Only 3 days left for the live reading of the book of Revelation. Let's go out. Let's be alert. Keep our eyes open at all times. Keep your eyes open, eyes on the skies. Jesus is coming soon. Spread the word. Spread the word, friends. He's coming soon. Go out and have a great God-blessed day. See you back here tomorrow morning.